This is Josh Sumby, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Drayton, North Dakota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson here in the studio with the news and headlines for the morning. We'll also be hearing a report from Don Wick in Kansas City at the National Association of Farm Broadcasters annual convention. The Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act has cleared the Senate and we'll see a House vote after the Thanksgiving holiday break. Agriculture Committee Chair John Bozeman says the bill fixes a longtime policy problem that limited student choice, stigmatizing lactose intolerant kids. The measure does not require schools to serve whole milk, but removes the rule restricting them to just fat-free and 1% options. Senators Roger Marshall and Peter Welch praised the bill, saying it supports dairy farmers, improves student nutrition, and corrects what they call a decade-old mistake. Dairy advocates say students drink more milk and waste less when whole milk is offered, bringing the option closer to returning to school cafeterias nationwide. At the 2025 NAFB trade talk in Kansas City, Poet Vice President of Corporate Affairs Doug Bervin emphasized the need for year-round E15 sales to help U.S. farmers and absorb surplus grain. Bervin says expanding ethanol use is a critical step for agriculture and the broader economy.
It's critically important, especially right now when we're oversupplied with grain. We are telling everybody that E15 is the only thing that can soak up surplus grain in the United States and make the farmer successful again. Right now, farmers are losing money in the fields, and there's no need for that. But the answer is more biofuels. The only way to soak up surplus grain right now is more biofuels, and E15 is the immediate right decision right now. We need it nationwide. We're pushing the administration. The administration knows how important biofuels are to agriculture and how important agriculture is to him.
Bervin says regulatory barriers and market resistance from the oil industry have slowed progress, but stresses that year-round E15 benefits farmers, consumers, and the environment.
But when we export a lot of cheap corn, we're stifling global agriculture. We need to soak it up here in the United States. When the U.S. is long grain, the world is long grain. And that's not good for anybody. We need to get E15 done here. That would soak up about 2.4 billion bushels of corn, which is going to be necessary. We're long a couple billion bushels at least. And so we are fighting as hard as we possibly can to go from E10 as a nationwide fuel to E15. 50% more biofuels, 50% more ethanol, and 2.4 billion bushels of corn demand. That's exactly what's needed. It's healthy for the country.
Bervin encourages consumers to ask for E15 at fuel stations and says solving the remaining regulatory issues and increasing obligations for oil companies will be key to rolling out year-round sales nationwide. North Dakota's rural economy is under heavy strain from volatile commodities and oil prices, shrinking export markets, and rising farmland values. Farmers face declining crop receipts, high production costs, and major trade disruptions, especially with China. Despite these pressures, farmland values continue to climb, widening the gap between land wealth and the income it generates. Government payments are providing temporary relief in 2025, but long-term uncertainty looms as supports expected to decline in 2026. South Dakota dairy farms struggling to find workers, even as the state posts the lowest unemployment rate in the nation at 1.9%. The Governor's Office of Economic Development has approved $17 million in new incentives this month, most of it for dairy projects. South Dakota Commissioner Bill Even says when small town businesses grow, it strengthens entire communities. Several other livestock projects also received grants through the state's reinvestment payment program, including new sow farms in Edmonds and Minor counties, and a 9,500-head dairy planned for Kingsbury County. The state also awarded two South Dakota Works loans to support business expansions in Rapid City and Sioux Falls. South Dakota Governor Larry Roden pushed back on comments from Senate President pro tempore Chris Carr, suggesting the state may need tighter agricultural regulations to address poor water quality. Roden called Carr's remarks misinformation and said farmers and ranchers have a strong interest in protecting natural resources. Carr noted that more than three-quarters of monitored river and stream miles fail to meet intended uses, prompting his call to consider incentives and potential restrictions. Agricultural groups and lawmakers defended the industry's conservation efforts, while others warned that heavy-handed mandates could be costly without improving results. You are listening to the Red River Farm Network. Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Crop input decisions for next year are being made now. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Don Wick has more in this report from Kansas City.
Tyler, with tight economic conditions in agriculture, we asked BASF Crop Protection Marketing Director Brady Spangenberg how that is influencing buying decisions for 2026.
I think what we saw in 25 is that people that put together an early plan were some of the most successful at the end of the year. And so you know, you talk about what makes a good plan. Overlapping residuals in your weed control program, minimize the cost of a respray. A proactive fungicide application also preserved yield if disease came in or environmental stressors. And then taking advantage of 0% financing. All of those things added up to preserving up to $200 an acre in corn or $100 an acre in soybeans in the 25 season. And our goal is just consistency. So we have that zero, we've continued that 0% financing program with post-harvest terms this next year. And that to us is one of the best ways to put a proactive plan that maximizes flexibility in the future.
What kind of feedback are you getting with growers? Obviously it's gotta be grabbing attention.
I think the haves and the have-nots has been the most stark feedback we've gotten, that you know, growers are seeing where they didn't apply a fungicide and that part of the field is yielding 30, 50 bushels less in corn, 10 bushels less in soybeans. And so the lessons are really strong this past year because by and large there was enough precipitation to get the crop to grow. And then, but that means that that was also you know, real opportunity for different diseases and weeds to continue growing throughout the year. I think about, you know, your backyard, white mold showed up in a major way. And so we had a lot more conversations about white mold timing versus more, you know, plant health timing as well.
As far as the product mix and those kind of things, if we lock in something today, can that be adjusted?
Absolutely, can be adjusted. We try and make it as simple as possible for the grower and retailer to put that plan together. Our program is one brand, minimum $10,000, and off you go with post-harvest terms. And I think that's where sometimes the more complicated we make that plan with different hoops, the more challenging it is really to put something together with your retailer. So we want to be as simple as possible and facilitate a discussion about what is the right agronomic plan for my farm.
Brady Spangenberg from BASF, reporting from the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City. I'm Don Wick.
Minnesota Senators Eric Putnam and Rob Kupek are urging farmers affected by the Hansen-Mueller bankruptcy to file claims with the state's Grain Indemnity Fund. The fund was created in 2023 to help producers recover income when grain buyers or warehouses become insolvent. Both senators say help is available and encourage farmers to submit a grain proof of claim form with supporting documents to the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. Forms can be emailed to grain@state.mn.us. Mandatory country of origin labeling is making the discourse around it is making a comeback after President Donald Trump's idea to import more beef from Argentina. National Farmers Union Vice President of Advocacy, Mike Strands, on the need for clear-cut labeling.
There's been an impact on political interest in approving legislation to reinstate mandatory country of origin labeling. After all, if there's going to be more imports from other countries into our beef marketplace, there ought to be mandatory labeling laws on the books to make sure that consumers have the right to know where their beef comes from, and a clear, strong labeling regime in place to make sure that those are clearly labeled as such.
Strand said the National Farmers Union has been a strong supporter of mandatory country of origin labeling, backing the policy since its creation in the early 2000s.
We opposed its clawing back in 2015 when Congress struck it down. I think that we're in a different time now, and consumers really want to know about where their food comes from, especially when it's very clear we're going to be importing more beef. So we're hopeful that there's some legislative avenue to get this done.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, you are listening to the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The South Dakota Agricultural Land Assessment Implementation and Oversight Advisory Task Force was tasked to guide the state's shift to an income-based system for valuing farmland. Today, legislative leaders are questioning whether the panel is still needed. To date this year, the task force has met only once, producing a half-page report. Members, including Chair Marty Overweg, say that the task force doesn't really do anything and may no longer serve a purpose, especially as other committees routinely study property tax issues. Several lawmakers noted that the ag assessment system is functioning as intended, suggesting the task force's duties could be reassigned or handled directly by existing legislative agriculture committees. Commodity prices are at five-year lows, fertilizer prices continue to trend upwards, and other factors are impacting input costs for farmers. Syngenta Agronomy Service Representative Blake Miller says growers should be thinking about weed control strategies as another way to help improve their bottom line.
The dynamics right now financially at the farm gate are a little challenging, so the utility of those fertilizer dollars is ultimately very important. When we think about that, fertilizer is relatively high right now. That investment typically for a corn acre could be in excess of $200 an acre. And that's from some University of Illinois work from agricultural economists over there. So just rough numbers, right? But it's a bit higher than we'd want it to be relative to commodity prices. So what we know from that is we need to protect that investment. What's that mean? That the weeds aren't consuming the fertilizer. And that's the real key piece that we want everyone to think about as we move through that.
Strengthening weed control can be a way to save on fertilizer investments.
There's been a lot of work done, studies with multiple locations, looking at various weed species densities and how much N, P, and K they're consuming. When you look at fertilizer prices today, 2 to 4 inch weeds might cost you something around $16 an acre. So, you know, current commodity prices, that's a couple bushel of corn when you want to put it in that kind of perspective. So it's really important that the fertilizer dollars go in the crop and not to feed the weeds.
Checking overnight grain prices, December wheat Minneapolis is 2.5 lower at 570 and a quarter. March Minneapolis down 0.75 cents to 579 and 0.75. December wheat Chicago is 2.5 lower to 524 and a half. KC December hard red winter wheat a penny and a quarter lower, sitting at 505. December corn's 0.75 cents lower to 425 and 0.75. March corn a penny and a quarter down at 436 and a half. July corn also a penny and a quarter lower at 449 and 0.75. January soybeans a penny down 1121 and a half. March soybeans down 1 cent also to 1131. May soybeans a penny lower at 1140 and a half. December soybean meal 40 cents per metric ton higher to 314.40. January soybean oils down 60 points to 50.35. In Winnipeg, January canola is 460 per metric ton lower to 645.60 Canadian. Checking out the cattle markets and how they closed yesterday. December feeders $1.57 lower, closing 214.72. November feeders $1.20 lower, closing 340.65. December hogs closing 62 cents higher at 79.47. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you are listening to the Red River Farm Network.